This is your chance to vote for this podcast in the Australian Podcast Awards in the category of Listener's Choice, with entries closing on 7 November. Go to www.australianpodcastawards.com, click on the Listener's Choice Vote tab on the top right, then type in Homeopathy Hangout in the search box and my podcast will pop up. Then type in your name and email to vote. Very important, you will receive a confirmation email and the vote will not count until you've clicked on the confirmation link in the email. Easy peasy, lemon squeezy. Let's get the Homeopathy Hangout podcast on the map and get more people asking about what this homeo thingamajiggy is all about. Thanks. Hello, Eugenie here. Today we speak with Leah Golden. She's a homeopath in Victoria with a passion for offering natural options for great health. She uses both classical and modern homeopathic techniques, along with nutritional and lifestyle advice, and her main aim is to find the best way to help each individual improve their health and stay free from stress and disease. So if you recognize her surname, Golden, you might know that she is the daughter of Dr. Isaac Golden, who is one of Australia's most experienced homeopaths and world authority on homeoprophylaxis. And she has had the opportunity to work alongside him for many years. And homeoprophylaxis is also an area that Leia has continued to specialize in. So I have to apologize for the episode cutting out right at the very end. So we had a terrible internet connection and luckily was able to edit out most of the lags in the connection. So it makes for easier listening. We cover some controversial topics in this episode, and I just want to make it very clear that we are absolutely pro-choice on all fronts and support our clients in whatever their health decisions are. So we hope you enjoy this episode. Thanks for listening.
Welcome to the Homeopathy Hangout podcast, where we discuss all things homeopathy from around the world. And now, your host, Eugenie Kruger.
Hello, everyone, and a very warm welcome to Homeopathy Hangouts. Today, we are hanging out with homeopath and mum, Leah Golden. Welcome, Leah.
Hi, thank you. Thanks so much for having me today.
It's a pleasure. So I'd love to hear your story. I think I know how you might have found out about homeopathy, but I think maybe the general public might not. Can you tell us how you got into homeopathy?
Yeah, so my story doesn't have one of these sort of amazing, miraculous cure kind of stories, which I love those ones. I just inspire people from totally other lives and areas of work to become a homeopath. So mine was a pretty simple journey there, because my dad's a homeopath. And so I grew up with, you know, I was homeopathically immunized. I used only homeopathic medicines. Oh, no, we used some herbal medicines too. And, of course, I'm sure there was times that we would have used Western medicines if needed. But it was just second nature to me to always sort of think of medicines being these delicious little white pills. But don't worry, there was plenty of cod liver oil straight from the bottle and raw herbs, so I also got the other side of it. And so I always actually knew I was going to be a homeopath. I knew it from when I was really little. I remember sneaking into my dad's office when he wasn't around and pretending to make up remedies and eating them, of course, all the filials, but like pretend. And now I catch my daughter all the time in here. She actually ate a really crazy remedy the other day and I was like, oh, it's going to happen. But yeah, so I always had this sort of feeling I was going to do it. But of course, you know, you go through primary school and high school and you kind of get to the end. And I remember Dad, he was working at the Australian College of Natural Medicine. And when I went to finish, you know, got to year 12, he goes, look, choose any course and I'll help you pay for it. Oh, maybe he said I'll pay for it. I can't remember. And I'm sure he was holding like the homeopathy sort of degree with his finger, but I was like, what's the shortest course? I was like, oh, massage, I'll take that. And he was like, oh, okay. So I did massage and I absolutely loved it. Went back to do a diploma of remedial massage. And I have been massaging now for 20 years maybe. And, at about 24, 25, I thought, oh no, I really just need to do homeopathy now. But it was such I realized there's so much emotional work that is needed in homeopathy. So you need to have, for me, I felt I needed to have this level of kind of maturity and I wanted to party a little bit. So I was like, I want to have fun, you know, be a bit crazy. And I felt like I couldn't do that if I had to be serious like my dad, if that's what a homeopath takes. So it wasn't until, I think I started my degree at about 26. So, and I actually was being a little bit rebellious and I was like, no, I'm actually going to do naturopathy because, you know, that's so much cooler. And I'm sure my stepmom at the time, Anita, would have loved that because she's an amazing naturopath. And so I started my first year of uni in the naturopathic degree and it just went right over my head. I was like, what are these herbs? And like, what's all these supplements? So by the second year, I went straight into homeopathy and it just was so simple and so easy. It made so much sense. Whereas some of the naturopathic students, because we overlap in a lot of our courses, they were like, what is this stuff? It just doesn't even make sense to me. Whereas I found, you know, talking about vital force and law of similars and law of minimum dose, it just was like, oh yeah, of course. That's just like makes so much sense. Mm-hmm. And I just loved getting to know the remedies through, you know, on this sort of different levels. Obviously there's a physical generals and learning about the sort of toxicity side and the physical side, like the disease element. But when I got to learn about the mental, emotional picture, oh, it's just like, I love it. I can't get enough of it. I still at night read about the mental, emotional pictures and stuff of these different remedies. Mm-hmm. So yes. And now I've been practicing homeopathy. I guess I ran dad's clinic. I said, I guess all up for 10 years while I was studying. And then when we came out of clinic, but in the last 2 years, I ventured off because I had two little babies and, hoping to add one more to the mix eventually. And so I moved to, my sort of only 5 minutes from my house. And as you know, when you have small children, 5 minute drive compared to a 25 minute drive is a long time. Mm-hmm. So dad and I, we still obviously work together mm-hmm. all the time and always in contact. But, it's been interesting. I've learned a lot. We're now working with a new colleague who was locuming for me when I had my second baby, Kate Lambrick, who's absolutely amazing. So I've learned a lot from her. She worked in India for a long time. So all of a sudden my mind was blown with all these new ways of doing things. Mm-hmm. But I'm still very classical. And I would say that I pretty much, after 10 years of watching dad practice, I think I practice pretty much the same.
Oh, interesting.
But I'm starting to expand it a little mm-hmm. bit. And of course, I've been blessed, you know, dad is the world authority on homeoprophylaxis or homeopathic immunization. Mm-hmm. And so that's something I've, you know, naturally just fallen into. And I absolutely love it. You know, when you have vaccine damaged cases come in and to be able to watch children, you know, turn around after one or two doses mm-hmm. of the right remedy, it is phenomenal. And, so my homeopathic journey has changed a lot, and especially since I've had children. Well, you know, now I do things very different. And I'm like, what was I thinking 5 years ago saying that to the mum to do this remedy and that remedy and this remedy? Now I'm like, no, just whack them in a bottle. Off you go.
Well, actually, that was going to be my next question. I'm glad you started off, led into that, is how mm-hmm. has becoming a mum changed how you practice? And, tell us a little bit about yes. that.
I've become a lot more practical and I now understand the true sense of needing to be able to administer things really simply. Like you need to have very yummy tasting products. You need to teach people how to hide those products, those supplements. Homeopathics, we're fine because they're pills. The children, it's more about how high to hide the products.
Yes.
Because the children will try to eat them. But certainly it's just giving me this understanding of, you know, the reality of parenting and being really sleep deprived and needing to explain things very simply and always writing down notes in very simple terms because you're so busy and children are screaming and crying and unwell and you're thinking, oh gosh, what did she say? And oh, what was that remedy? And so yes, I definitely get it. So that's been one part is I've certainly just simplified things because that's where I'm at. Mm-hmm. Things need to be explained to me when I haven't slept for a couple of nights because I've got a sick kitty mm-hmm. and, you know, I don't use, I've never had to use mm-hmm. Panadol. So my children have to suck it up a little bit. Obviously the homeopathics are great. They do help, but they probably feel they're teething mm-hmm. a little more than some other children mm-hmm. may. So I think that definitely is. And then I've been able to test so many great things on my kids. Hopefully they won't see this in the future and be like, what? But I've been able to trial a lot of things that I'd never thought I would knew. And that has led me into the world of blending. So when I say blending, I mean mixing or making, say, complexes. Mm. So complexes is when you mix. A simplex is just one remedy. We always hope it's the similimum, the, you know, holy grail of homeopathics. But complexes is when you're mixing two or three or four or five, even seven, that sounds like a lot, but even seven remedies into the one bottle. So normally when I'm doing that, I'll do it in liquids. But I never, you know, I was trained, it's very classically trained. So, you know, about that very Hahnemannian way of you know, using a lot of polycrest and really using that simplex one at a time. And my dad still very much is this way. And a lot of homeopaths, I still am in some, but certainly in chronic cases, mm-hmm. I am. But now, since I've had kiddies and I've had one had hand, foot and mouth, I've had my little one got croup the other day. And oh yeah, I am throwing remedies in that bottle and they're working.
Absolutely.
So that's really blown my classical mind a little bit because I was really in that line of try to always get that one remedy. But when you've got a kitty and you're in the bathroom with the steam on at 2 a.m. and they're not breathing well, the other day, you know, my son came up with a bit of croup. Now I had croup growing up and I have to say, Dad just gave me Aconite 200 and it worked. It really, he didn't use a complex. But for me, when it was my child, I just shit myself and I said, I put Aconite 200, Hepsolve 200, Spongia and Penicillin 6X. And I whacked them all in a bottle, gave it a really good succuss, and I was giving that to my son every 5 minutes and I wasn't counting. I was pulling up a dropper and squirting that in. And I actually, I think within by the second dose, his breathing calmed right down. He was no longer having that stridor or that trouble breathing. Mm-hmm. And by the third dose, he had fallen asleep in my arms. And it was just, now I am the blend queen. I have a blend for everything. And I absolutely love it. So I still always sell a kit, like with your normal remedies. But now I put a little empty bottle in with my kits. Or just with any clients, even without a kit, but I put an empty bottle. I say, take this empty bottle. Cause when my clients text me at like strange times, text me. That's all. I say, don't bother calling. You'll never get a call back. But when they text me to say, I've got 1, 2, 3. Now I can actually say, use 1, 2, 3, blend it all up. So yes, I am loving this year has been my year of blends.
I love it. And I think that's
why it's been a lot of fun.
Why us homeopaths can be such a wacky bunch because we all prescribe so differently. And I do think that part of the success is like having that connection with a homeopath, but also I feel like homeopathy is endless. It feels like there's so many different ways of prescribing. There's 8,000 different remedies, you know, like I don't feel we can ever box ourselves. Like we have to stay open-minded and try different things. And at the end of the day, if the blends are working, it's working. Your child had croup, now he doesn't. The proof is in the pudding, you know, and whether that's a single remedy or a blend, your child is happy and healthy and that's all that matters. What sort of other blends have you found really useful?
So my main blends that I've got, now I've got a little book of blends. I made the girls, I have two beautiful receptionists, Amanda and Casey, who are doing all my typing and making things look pretty and nice while I'm throwing them scribbled bits of paper. So I've got the persistent cough blend. So this one's been quite interesting year. So, you know, I will say I work with a lot of mums preventatively. So I have a lot of mums that I treat here and there, but they really, it's more about homeopathy, like all natural medicine. We always are about preventative health first and then cure after. And so I usually don't have these kind of coughs that hold on so long. So obviously I live in Melbourne, very cold, very wet, a lot of respiratory stuff in winter. And I usually only need a couple of, you know, remedies here and there, a bit of Drosera maybe, some Hepsolve is always a big one down here. But this particular one that came up, and it was actually before winter this year that it came up, it was just it was coming back. It was just that constant, you know, dry cough that would go for weeks. It went into months. You would think it's like a whooping cough, but it wasn't. A few patients got their kitties tested. It wasn't whooping cough. It just, and it wasn't COVID. Don't worry. I had seen a few COVID cases, but they certainly weren't that full on, actually. Mm. But yes, it just hung around. And so I made this great blend. I almost like hate saying what's in it because there's so much in it. I feel like, oh, I'm so embarrassed. But I will say, and I do tailor them a little bit. I do tailor them. Dad always picks on me. He's very classically trained. He was calling me a Frenchie the other day, a French homeopath, because they love their complexes. Mm-hmm. And I'm not like the French. I do not use low potencies. I love high potencies. Mm-hmm. I am not scared to use 200s, 1Ms. Like I will, for acutes, I don't mind. Maybe I'll just say what's in this one. So I put in Hepsolf, aconite, pulsatilla, penicillin 6X, and then I actually put in Bacillinum in a 1M. So Bacillinum is a it's a great remedy, very deep-acting type remedy. It's a no-so, so a remedy made from diseases, and it is one that has been used for sort of that chronic cough when it's sort of really holding in there. So that was a really good blend. And, of course, I've been adding in my favorite remedy, which is actually a homeopathic remedy called Nodacal, and it's a homeopathic potency of penicillin in a 6X. And I have been adding this to a few blends actually because I've just been needing it this year. So yes, the persistent cough blend has definitely been a hit.
Okay. I was just going to say that this winter has been, and as you said, almost before winter, I mean, we've had the wettest July in Perth that we've had in 20 odd years, but I do think there are more factors to this cough that's just been going on.
Yes.
Same. Clients of mine who have kids who are so healthy and never have issues with coughs have actually really struggled this past 3 or 4 months with coughs that are just not going away and loads of weird symptoms. Sorry, I don't have any other better way to describe it, but weird symptoms. People who just don't normally get sick are getting all sorts of weird things happen to them. And I'd love to have a chat with you about that and your thoughts about why that might be.
Oh, yes. I feel like we're all thinking a similar thing. Mm-hmm. So, yes, I would happily, you know, it's good to talk about hot topics. We all love having great blends and knowing all these great tips and things. And I'd happily share, you know, different blends that I've had success with anyone if they ever wanted to know. But yes, this last few months, hey, it's been a bit of a strange time. The amount of symptoms that we're seeing from menstrual stuff, which has just been through the roof, to kids stuff as well, these coughs, like you said, exactly the same down here. And it's all been in this kind of group time. I think the stress of lockdowns and just COVID in general and politics has really affected children collectively. You know, they're a lot more dynamic. Their vital force is a lot stronger. It's not as suppressed as adults, you know, they haven't had years of suppression through different means. And so I think they're picking up, getting a lot more children having night terrors and stuff. So I think there is that collective side, but I will have to tread lightly on this topic because it is one that we have to be careful about not ever trying to sway someone's decision making when it comes to vaccination, homeopathic immunization. You know, I'm very pro-choice, you know, with everything, but being, you know, working with Dad for so long and specializing in immunization for so long, I also do pre and post vaccination and vaccination support. So for little children, particularly for this current vaccine that's out, we're doing some great protocols for people who are getting the vaccine but wanting support. Mm-hmm. But alongside that, one of the biggest things I'm seeing in the clinic is this spike protein transmission. Now, I will say, a lot of people are saying this doesn't happen. A lot of people are saying it is. We're not meant to use the term shedding truly because shedding is a term coined for live virus vaccines that shed. And that is very common knowledge. No one will deny that anything with a live virus can shed. Well, even when you're sick, you shed. So the body needs to clear viral matter or bacterial matter. It comes out of your breath. It comes out of your pores, you know, through your elimination channels. So there's no denying that there is this element of yes, saliva, this element of shedding, although you hope you're not getting too many other people's saliva.
there's
this element of shedding. With this vaccine, what we've noticed, we all know it's a different new technology well, it's not that new, but it's new to humans, this technology. And there is this element of what we're calling transmission. And we do know that this technology now uses this sort of spike protein technology. And it seems to be that it's this spike protein that is transmitting from recently vaccinated people to all people, not just non-vaccinated, but also vaccinated people, just transmitting to the world. And I would say it's a tricky one to be able to tell if it's something that happens for a day, for a week, for 2 weeks. The one thing I am saying is, regardless of when someone had a vaccine, if they're still a bit unwell, and it's very normal to become a bit unsettled, we see it in children after a vaccine, you know, but certainly this vaccine, some people, like all vaccines, like the flu vaccine, some people can be reactive to it. So if someone is still unwell a few weeks later, so I mean still tired, still got a numb arm, still feeling a bit, you know, fatigued or a bit nauseous, you have to assume their body is actually still producing that spike protein and having that immune response. Therefore, they would still be transmitting it and the body would still be trying to eliminate it, the excess of the toxins. So, yes, unfortunately, I had a very unusual, and I hope none of my clients are listening, because I love you. I'll continue to massage you. But I'm still doing a little bit of massage. And about 3-4 months ago, when the AstraZeneca first came out, I had two clients in one day that had both had a massage, that I both massaged, and they'd recently had the vaccine. And so I massaged them, and very shortly after, I had a very intense flooding. And women, mums, we all know what this is, feels like. I had a very intense, heavy period. It was about a week early. And I get a lot of we have an amazing acupuncturist at our clinic. So I get a lot of acupuncture. My periods are very regular. When you do acupuncture, you have very regular periods. It happened within sort of a day or two of these two massages of clients who were still quite unwell. So they were still very tired and very unwell from the AstraZeneca vaccine. And within 2 days, I had the most intense cramping pain, so bad that I thought I was having an ectopic pregnancy. And I went to the doctors. Now, I don't go to doctors very often because I'm a homeopath and everyone I know is something and throws herbs and things at me. But this was so intense that I actually thought I was having an ectopic pregnancy. Went there, they said everything was fine. So here I am, kind of in denial, because I'd already heard this overseas in other countries which had had the rollout earlier about women having miscarriages and having really bad, you know, women in menopause getting their periods back. And there is still this science within me that I like to see it, to believe it. And I thought also, surely I'm not that sensitive. You know, I'm very robust. I've got a good vital force. But sensitivity doesn't always mean you're not going to get something. In fact, a good, strong vital force means you're probably going to react to it quicker than someone who's got a more suppressed vital force. Not trying to show off about my vital force, of course. So I had a really intense reaction, and I, for about 4 or 5 days, constant cramping, went to the doctors. They said, no, there's nothing wrong. I was always like, oh, damn, I wasn't pregnant. You know, when you're trying for a baby, you're like, every day you're like, I better be pregnant. Finally called up my dad, and like, no one wants to tell their dad about their menstrual cycle. But I was like, Dad, is this real? Is this spike protein transmission? Is this real? Like, could people have such a strong reaction? Told him about my response, and he said, yes. And I was like, oh shit, I should have asked you like a week ago. But I was trying CPR. I was trying all these different ones to help with the cramping and the pain. Nothing was working. Finally, he told me about the Boothus Australia. So a homeopathic potency of scorpion. So I think it is derived from the toxins, if I'm correct. Mm-hmm. And, of course, we know with homeopathy so many of our best remedies are made from poisons and heavy metals and diseases. Some of our strongest remedies come from very unusual sources. And so I took a dose. So I drove up, because Dad doesn't live far from me, drove up to his house and took a dose. And within 10 minutes, the pain subsided. And I didn't need a dose for the rest of that day. And then I had another dose the next day. And within a little while, it was all clear. And I just couldn't believe it. Within 2 days, everything was back to normal. Now, unfortunately, I continue to massage a little bit. And I was taking the Boothus after. And there's another remedy that I was taking, preventative, sort of virus immunization of sorts. So what we call a homeoprophylaxis remedy or a homeopathic immunization to help sort of just boost my vital force to viruses, you know, and in particular, mm-hmm. one that would almost have that similar symptom picture to what the spike protein does. So I was taking that preventatively, lots of supplements, but I was still massaging a couple of people here and there that had just had the jab. And because I didn't want to discriminate against my clients. Unfortunately, it meant that my cycle has been irregular mm-hmm. for the last almost 4 months. Because of that, I believe, because this cycle, we've been in lockdown for over a month, so I haven't massaged in a month, and it was the first time my cycle was regular. So as much as I, you know, don't want people who are getting the vaccine to feel like, oh, God, now I'm going to, you know, spike protein everyone, it is a real part of it, and you do have to be very conscious of it. The same way if someone mm-hmm. with any vaccine, not just this vaccine, any vaccine, if they've just been vaccinated and had viruses and bacteria introduced to their body, you just need to treat them like they're sick. Whether you acquire a virus from a natural source or from a vaccination, it doesn't matter. However that virus got into your body, always treat someone like they're sick and just give a little bit of distance for a while. So yes, the one thing I have to say though, and the great thing with homeopathy that I love is this remedy is very kind of, this remedy, the Boothus Australis, is very specific for spike protein reactions. So whether from getting the vaccination or from being exposed. Now, if it wasn't, if this disruption in my cycle, if it wasn't from the spike proteins, that remedy would not have worked. So I know very easily that it actually was, because that remedy worked instantly. So yes, it is very real, and we do have to be mm-hmm. cautious and conscious of it if we're either getting vaccinated or if we're not, or if we've got young children in the house. And there's lots of great things we can do to help protect people at this time as well.
Mm-hmm. I am so glad that you spoke about this and you're so brave to say this, because, you know, more people really need to speak up about what's happening. I felt a little bit vulnerable. It's actually in my podcast with your dad just last week that he said about what he's seeing in his clinic with all this unusual menstrual cycles. And then I said to him, well, you won't believe this. Actually, just the day or two before this interview, I had my first irregular bleed in my life ever. And I've had menstrual cycles for 30 years. They're normal. I've never had any issues. And then I have had some clients in the clinic who have recently had the vaccine, and my period was 11 days early. And it was, I mean, I'm not going to get graphic on the podcast, obviously, because it's a very personal thing, but it went on for much longer than usual. The the flow, the color, the consistency, I have never had in 30 years of having my period. So, and I was shocked just like you, because I have a very strong vital force. I'm not somebody that gets sick easily. I'm not affected by things easily. I can, you know, I don't get tired easily. I can go. I am just one of those people that is just like a workhorse, and I can keep going and I don't get sick. So I always like to think I don't easily get affected by things around me. So I was in denial, number one, when this happened, because I had been hearing about these irregular periods that's happening from the spike protein transmission. But I was like, this isn't going to happen to me. I've got a strong constitution. And when it happened, I was trying to find every other excuse.
Yeah.
For why it wouldn't be that, thinking maybe it's this, maybe
going
it's
to
that.
Shock
but
a
the
bit.
Reality was, it was definitely a transmission symptoms. The other thing that I've seen a lot of is spontaneous nosebleeds. And I had one of my clients just the other day. She had had nosebleeds the entire weekend. And I said to her, have you ever had this before? And she said, no, I've never had nosebleeds. And I said, have you been around somebody who has recently had the COVID vaccine? And she said, yes, I went away for the weekend with my parents who have both just had the vaccine. So how do you not put two and two together? I mean, you have to be completely blind not to start asking questions about what is going on. And what you were saying about the vaccines, Leah, like rotavirus is actually a classic example. It's even in the medical literature. For 2 weeks after a child has had the rotavirus vaccine, because it is a live virus vaccine, it sheds. You have to be super careful. You have to really wash your hands after you've changed their diapers. You have to be really careful that they don't share toys with other kids, because it is a live virus vaccine. So you can make other people very sick if the child has recently been vaccinated. So for the
2 weeks after the rotavirus vaccine, you do have to be very careful with, you know, when you're handling this child and with saliva and feces and things like that. So it's not so far-fetched to think that what we're seeing at the moment is transmission of this vaccine.
Of course, of course. And you're so spot on, actually, with that, to mention that. It makes me, just made me start thinking, no wonder there's always so much gastro in daycares, because, you know, people are not always thinking like that or not aware of that. They're, the doctors don't tell you that. You know, my girlfriend's undergoing a chemo treatment and they've told her, you know, make sure that you don't go near anyone for 2 weeks who's just had the flu shot. So that's what her doctors, her oncologists say as part of the chemo, you know, stay away, don't have any carers who have just had the flu shot. So it is no secret that this occurs. It's a shame that the doctors don't tell people that, because the rotavirus is given so young now, and twice. It would be probably really helpful for the parents to go, okay, we better just make sure we, you know, wash our hands and stop the transmission. But no, so it is, absolutely. Yes, it's funny, isn't it? Having that exact, our experience is like exactly the same. I'm like, oh, they're like homies.
And when you, and where we are, and once you start hearing these stories over and over again, you might hear it once or twice and think, oh, that's strange. But then you hear it over and over and over again. And we have to start asking questions, because what's happening is very strange.
And especially when the remedies that are working. We actually, it's funny you said that about the nosebleed. We had a little 18-month-old who had a woke up with a nosebleed, and I think her mother had just had the jab. She's a nurse and was breastfeeding, and she had a nosebleed. And I had a very close to home experience with a nosebleed not long ago with one of my children. So yes, you can't deny it. There's no, you don't need to. It's not saying, you know, don't get vaccinated, or you know, you have to stay completely away from anyone.
No,
we can't, because everyone. Everyone we know is getting vaccinated now. It's about going, okay, let's just, let's be real. The entire, nearly the entire population of the earth is getting vaccinated right now. So let's just be conscious to give us that extra protection. So the, you know, the there are some homeopathics for it, you know, and that Boothus remedy is absolutely amazing. So I've had, you know, a lot of people coming into clinic now who have, having very similar symptoms, you know, headaches, blurred vision, a lot of tinnitus, a lot of babies spiking high fevers, fevers coming out of nowhere, just things that are very uncommon to people. And that Boothus remedy in either 30 or 200 has been absolutely working brilliantly. I've just seen, you know, I had a pregnant woman, we had her coming into the clinic with cramping after her her jab, and she was very concerned. And with probably within 15 minutes, we gave her a clinic dose, or just a dose in clinic. And she said it just calmed it right down. So you can imagine the relief from a mum. So we do have a great protocol that we have been using, and I'm sure you might be using something similar, but I'm just using dad's because it's just what I tend to do.
Well, he's got probably a couple of decades more experience than you, so it's worth listening to him.
I'm like, he's done all the hard work. I'll just sort of ride on that. So we have a remedy that we get people to take once a week, which is a complex, really good remedy to help just boost your immune system against virals, viral matter, let's say. And then we give also have that with the Boothus. Now, I will say, though, one thing I have to say, we also have some great remedies for people getting the jab, so where we give potencies of the vaccine. So that's a really great way to help the body to help eliminate and clear through these vaccines, so the toxins that might be there. So it's not stopping the body from hopefully producing antibodies, which is the vaccine's aim. It just helps the body to work through and detoxify out the drug. So the stuff within the drug that's resonating at a more toxic or negative level. And so we give potencies of it, and we start, and we also, of course, give a potency Arnica 1M, which we know Arnica is an amazing hemorrhagic remedy, and it's really good to help prevent against blood clotting. So we have, you know, some protocols. Most homeopaths have got very similar protocols, and it is working beautifully. I have to say, we've got a lot of people who are on these protocols while they're getting their COVID vaccinations, and they've all done really well. But I will say, it doesn't stop them transmitting those spike proteins. And we've had a few people who they've done really well, but their partner or their baby has felt, you know, a little bit rubbish. And so that's why we have now started to make sure that anyone else within the house is taking the preventative remedies and has that Boothus remedy or other treatment remedies, but particularly that Boothus remedy. It's an amazing remedy. And there's something beautiful about the fact it's a scorpion toxin for a spike protein. I'm like, come on, homeopathy, stop being so cool. So that is, yeah, so it's worth just saying this is real, this is happening. Mm-hmm. Let's just cover everyone. Let's cover the people getting vaccinated and help them work through that beautifully. And let's cover people not getting vaccinated. And even after people have had both jabs, I'm finding that when they're work colleagues or they're getting overexposed to someone who's recently been vaccinated, it's flaring up these spike proteins again and they're having these symptoms. So even though I say, even if you're vaccinated, I'm still recommending people take that homeopathic immunization or that, you know, that protection remedy to help them after, but they've had both jabs.
Absolutely. So I actually saw in the New Zealand Herald yesterday or the day before, there is a lady who has just had two doses of the vaccine and she ended up dying of COVID. So, you know, even if you've had the vaccine, it's definitely worth seeing a homeopath to have a consultation to just have all that support on all levels. And, you know, VAERS, the Vaccine Adverse Events Reaction System in the United States, they have just had a case logged a month or so ago of a five-month-old baby who died. It was a breastfed baby, died 2 days after the mum received her vaccines, and the baby died of ITP. So that is a blood clotting disorder that the baby died of 2 days after the mum had the vaccine. And it was a fully breastfed baby. So, you know, it is actually very real because these spike proteins are transmitting. And I think it's going to take several years for us to be able to, you know, analyze all these cases and find out a bit more about the vaccine. It is still experimental. So it's going to be still a few years before we really get to find out the full extent of all of this. So in the meantime, you know, I'm so glad that you've mentioned about remedies that can help people, because the reality is you can say, you know, walk off the job if they're forcing you to get a vaccine all you want. But if that person still has a mortgage to pay, that person still has children to feed, it's just not a reality for a lot of people. They can't just say, no, I'm just going to walk off the job. You know, they still have to put food on the table. So a lot of people are getting the vaccine against their wishes. But if you go to a homeopath, you know, at least a month beforehand, I would say, so the homeopath can prepare your body for what's about to happen. You know, it's, you're going to get a better result at the end of the day.
Yeah. And we do, this is with all vaccines. Like I've been doing, well, since the legislation changed, actually that was a big turning point in my homeopathic career. That was pre-children. but I, you know, for many years, we just provided homeopathic immunization. And I never really thought about pre and post vaccination because no one really ever came to me for it. It was just very much, you know, I would prefer not to vaccinate at this stage. So can we have something else? And homeopathic immunization is a wonderful option. And so for parents who choose not to vaccinate, and so that's always what I sort of grew up doing as a homeopath. And then all of a sudden, particularly in Melbourne, they changed the legislation very quickly to no jab, no pay. And then eventually they changed it to no jab, no play. And that was, that must have been maybe six, 7 years ago, was it? Maybe 6 years ago. I can't remember now. And all of a sudden our clinic went from homeopathic immunization. And then we did a lot of vaccine damage work or work helping children whose parents believed that they'd had some kind of injury or they've never been well since the vaccination. And, you know, I never, if a parent comes to me telling me that's what they saw, I believe them. I would never doubt a parent because we spend a lot of time with our children. We know them pretty well. And so I all of a sudden was in this world of vaccine support. And so we came up with a very simple naturopathic program. So naturopaths have been doing this for a long time. And I'm sure homeopaths have either. I had just never done it before. And so now I have I would say it's almost 50-50, my client base, my mamas and dads who come in with children, a bit concerned about the vaccinations, who still want to vaccinate but just want to do it in the safest way possible, and some who don't want to do it but just have to because they need to for financial reasons or, you know, as you're saying, for different reasons. And so we do really good work, and I love to do this pre and post supplementary support, but we also give potencies of the vaccine to take afterwards. And even in little six-week-old babies, I do this with, and they work beautifully. Of course, I do split the vaccine, so not split them up into tiny little ones, but I mean, I do always try to recommend to do don't do too many on one day. So I wouldn't be doing Prevnar and rotavirus and Infrahexor all on one day. I do, for me, it's much easier if parents are happy to do sort of Infrahexor on one day and then maybe a couple of months later, then do the rotavirus and then a few months later, the Prevnar, which is your pneumococcal, because then I can see what they possibly are reacting to if they do react. But we can also do this really good support work and keep their immune systems good pre and post. So, yeah, there's so much great stuff out there. You don't have to feel like, you know, for me, I think if everyone did pre and post vaccination support with their children and did hopefully try to split the vaccines up a little bit, so they're still getting the same amount of vaccines but just in a much more gentle schedule, I don't think I would have as many vaccine damaged clients that I see. So it's a shame that this isn't just something that we could implement. Maybe one day I'll make best friends with one of the politicians, hey? Or maybe we'll just vote Dad in. That would be great, the Health Australia Party. That would skip that issue.
Oh, can you imagine a world where your dad's prime minister? That would be amazing.
Yeah, so always an interesting topic. You could go on and on about immunization topics in general. They're a little taboo, but important that people do speak out, I think, a little bit about them and about their experiences and feel like they've been heard and not feel like they've just been shut down, because, you know, it really is people, when they're talking about, I'm getting a lot of people who are coming in with, who are having quite adverse reactions to the COVID jab, are saying they're going to their doctors and they're going to hospital and getting admitted and they're saying, oh, I've just had the jab, would it be that? And they're saying no to them. So people feel like they're, you know, they're almost gaslighting them, not to use that term, but yeah, it's nice. I think that's why we're getting so busy as homeopaths and natural. Like my clinic has never been this busy, and I'm sure my colleague would say the same. We've never been as busy because people are not getting listened to or believed. Even people who are very much, you know, Western focused and very pro-vaccination and want to get their jab, when they're having reactions, the doctors are turning them away. And so I hope not all doctors are, but I have to say a lot of them are ending up at my clinic. So I think it's nice for people to be listened and heard.
Absolutely. And the flip side of that is that there is not a compensation system in Australia. So if you are damaged by a vaccine, there's no way, like, you're not going to get compensation for that. So it does make things much trickier. So there's a no-fault policy, obviously. So if there is a vaccine reaction, there's nowhere where you can then go and claim to actually get some money to say, if you become disabled after the vaccine and you're not able to go back to your work, where are you going to get that income from? There's no support system there financially to be able to help you. So that is very scary.
Yeah, scary.
I'm wondering, Leia, have you got some success stories from the clinic you can share with us?
Oh, gosh. So I can happily say I have many success stories, which all practitioners want to say. I've had, you know, one or two failures. No, we've all had a bit of both.
Absolutely.
My son with the croup, that was a total success story for many reasons, but also for the believability of my husband. So he knew nothing about, he knew absolutely nothing about homeopathy when he first met me, had no idea what it was. And so, or natural medicine for that, you know, just never really thought about it. And yeah, so when you see your son, when you see a child not breathing properly, the first thing you want to do is call the ambulance and take him to hospital and get your steroid shot. And look, there's nothing wrong with doing that, by the way. He's like, I am a qualified homeopath, so I'm very confident in my medicines. I've seen him work since I was born. But yes, to see his eyes, how surprised he was to see how quick this remedy calmed him down, because he had the phone. It was like, do I call them? And I was like, step out of the bathroom. You're actually stressing everybody out. You need to leave. But he couldn't believe how quickly it worked. So that was definitely a homegrown success. But I guess one of my favorite cases is a beautiful young 14-year-old right now. So this is an ongoing case. Beautiful young 14-year-old who so there's a lot of mental health issues right now. I'm seeing a lot of teenagers. We've had a lot of suicides down here, which is so heartbreaking. Over the last couple of months, there's been a very, very high amount. And some of our clients, it was even their children who had passed away. This is becoming the pandemic down here. It's the sort of silent one that not everyone's seeing. But I had a young girl who was becoming very mentally unwell. And, you know, with lockdowns going, she hadn't been at school for months and starting to talk about suicide and just really withdrawing. And so her parents, you know, they've tried some medications, wasn't quite working, and sent her to a psychologist, which just, you know, she was just getting progressively worse. And so I just said, you know, let's bring her in, let's have a talk. Despite the laws, I saw her face to face. Sorry, Dan Andrews, had to do that one. And so, because it's important that you make that connection with your clients, especially young clients, they need to be able to really sit there and feel comfortable and trust you. And I remember her walking in and she had her hair over her face, beautiful young 14-year-old, hair totally over her face, black hair, cool black, like dog collar chain, really like goth. I kind of thought, oh, she's so stylish for her age. But really quiet, didn't say a word. You know, I sort of kicked her dad out and said, all right, out you go, dad, let us just have a girl-to-girl chat. By the time she finished, her hair was flicked back and she was talking and you know, really expressive, gave her some really simple remedies. You know, Natmer really fit the case, which we know is a very withdrawn kind of remedy. So Natmer fit the case beautifully. And then I gave her a flower essence blend because I love bush flower essence. I think they're absolutely brilliant. I use them a lot in my clinic. And so I gave her a flower essence blend to be taking daily, and I gave her the Natmer to be taking weekly. And I said, I want you to email me, you know, getting a young person to email. So she actually did. She sent me an email saying she's dreaming, she's feeling better. And then I saw her for a follow-up and she said she's feeling much better. And she had dyed her hair red and she was cut her hair and she was wearing brighter clothes, still really funky and fashionable, but just her whole demeanor looked different. She looked happy. And when I said to her, you know, I kicked her dad out again because I was like, let's just talk, the two of us, girl to girl. And she said she just feels happier. She goes, I just feel happier. Now, she is still she's medicated, so she's on antidepressants as well, because we don't mess around with suicide. You know, I never tried to take, you know, tell people not to take their medications if they need them. But she actually told me she feels happier, and I bumped into her mum in the supermarket, you know, love country towns, small country town, bumped into her mum in the supermarket, and she said, oh, my God, Leia, she's coming up and hugging me and telling me she loves me. And I looked at my husband. I was like, what is happening right now? And she's drawing and she's painting, and the remedy just lifted this dark cloud off her. So even though she was taking the medication, so, you know, the antidepressants and so on, they still weren't making her happy. They still weren't working, in a sense. So now together, that combination of the homeopathics, the daily flower essence, giving that, you know, beautiful energy and adding that to her vital force, it's really unlocked something. And we know Natmer is such not a remedy I give to that many children, you know, but she needed that Natmer. She was in a very dark place. Just to hear a little 14-year-old say they're so happy, and to see the physical transformation from this black hair covering her face to this like cool, short, red, bright red cropped hairdo with her face, gorgeous eyes out there for the world to see. It was so good. It just makes my heart happy. Very happy to be a homeopath when you have days like that.
It's wonderful when you get clients come in and they have those physical changes, and when they walk in the clinic, you're like, whoa, you've changed. Yes. Tell me what's happened.
Yes.
So I'm wondering, Leia, just before we finish off, what is your top three remedies for you personally? Like, what's your three favorites that if you were stuck on a deserted island, they were the only three that you had?
So I would say my favorite three, because I have a son who's always hurting himself, Arnica, for some reason. I feel like he's living on Arnica. So I'd always say Aconite. Aconite 200 I have a very personal connection with, because I suffered a bit of croup growing up. And so I learned how to use, you know, my dad taught me how to use that remedy very early on, and I would take it to school with me. And every time I couldn't breathe properly, or I'd feel myself go into that kind of panic, I would take it and it would calm me down, you know. And so that remedy, and even now, it's just such a great remedy to have. If I was going to choose one remedy to take with me, it would actually be aconite. And also, it's, you know, when people are really emotional, you know, for panic. So yes, definitely aconite. Yeah, I guess arnica. And then I'd want to always put in like an immunization for like my health, because that is such a great way to just boost your vitality. So the 2021 VPN remedy, the one we're actually taking now, I think is amazing. It's actually the third it's the third version of this chain of remedies. And I loved the first. It was pretty strong, a few weird reactions, but I loved the first. But yeah, I would almost take a remedy with me to help boost my vital force, through it. But yeah, I'd say aconite definitely top one. Arnica, I just use a lot of because, of children falling and, you know, hurting themselves, country kids, you know. And, yeah, good old fashioned homeopathic immunization to keep me and myself and the family super healthy. Actually, I'd love to know what your top three are.
Well, actually, that's very funny because I always ask all the guests what their top three are, and knowing full well that if somebody was to ask me that, I don't know if I could answer it. But I think absolutely arnica and aconite and Nux Vomica, I think, would be my three that I couldn't live without.
Beautiful. No, I'm always interested. Oh, good. So we've got at least a couple on the same page.
So, Leia, how can people get hold of you and the work that you do?
Thank you for asking. So I have a little clinic in Sunbury called Holistic Health Macedon Ranges. That's funny because it's not in the Macedon Ranges anymore, but it was for many years. So we have our little clinic, Holistic Health, where it's myself and Kate Lambrick, who's an amazing colleague, and actually now her husband, Mark Lambrick, has joined our homeopathic team. So that's really, we're very lucky. And then, of course, Dad and I always work sort of together with clients if we need to and so on. And so I'm there. I do have two websites. So I've got Leia Golden Homeopathy, which is just my own little website, which is just, you know, they're just quite simple. And then, of course, I also have the Holistic Health Macedon Ranges website. So there's a few things there that you might want to have a look at. With the homeopathic immunization side of things, I usually refer people straight to Dad's website because he's got some good articles and things like that. I like to, you know, fly under the radar. I always say to Dad, you know, you're almost at the end of your career, so you just get out there and I'll just cruise underneath while you're flying high. I'll just be like the little birdie underneath in your shadow so that I can get to 30 plus years of this career. So I do refer to his website for any homeopathic immunization stuff, which is really good. So my email, and you'll be able to get my email from those websites, the leiagolden.com or the info at, you know, Holistic Health Mat or whmr.com.au.
And so at this stage of the interview, it seems the internet fairies, or I should say internet gremlins, were not playing along anymore and Leia and I got cut off. So we actually had a terrible connection for this interview. We had a very terrible lag, and hopefully you won't pick that up due to the editing, but it was very hard for us at several stages to hear each other. We got cut out a few times. Leia was so patient and she kept redialing back in and we kept on reconnecting, but we just could not get our connection back up after this. So Leia, I just want to say thank you so much for your time. We'll link all your info in the show notes, and we appreciate all that you're sharing with us in this very tricky time that we're all going through. So thanks again.